Everyone ready to go? Well, thanks very much for coming along. Today we're announcing the next steps in the mixed ownership model program, and that's introducing legislation into Parliament, which will give the government the power to transfer companies from the State-Owned Enterprises Act into the Public Finance Act to allow for the mixed ownership model program. You'll all be very much aware of the reason why the government's doing this. We want to make sure that we can control the country's public debt. You only need to look at what's happening in Europe to see what happens when countries' debt gets out of control. They lose the ability to make decisions about their country's future. So that's part of the setting of the mixed ownership model program, to get proceeds of between $5 and $7 billion, which would go into a future investment fund for investment in schools, hospitals and other important public assets. So this we're introducing legislation this afternoon for the mixed ownership model, which will allow the government by way of order and council to move state-owned enterprises out of the SOE Act and into a new schedule of the Public Finance Act, which would apply to the mixed ownership model companies. The Public Finance Act will provide that those companies in Schedule 5, the government must retain 51% control, and that no other shareholder may own more than 10% of the shares. The government's yet to make decisions with respect to Air New Zealand. This is because there are some added complexities with the fact that about 26% of the shares are already privately owned, and so we're seeking more commercial advice on how we implement our policy there, but the government remains very committed to making sure that its policy is replicated with respect to Air New Zealand as well. On the issue of Section 9, the government has already indicated that we're going to replicate Section 9 in the legislation, move it right from the SOE Act across to the new Public Finance Act provision, and there'll be a clarification for the avoidance of doubt that that doesn't apply to any person other than the Crown. I think that's been fairly well signalled. Because the government wants to align these mixed ownership model companies as much as it can to the companies that are listed on the New Zealand Stock Exchange, we will be removing the companies themselves from the Official Information Act and the Ombudsman. However, the decision-making process or the engagement of the 51% Crown shareholders will continue to be subject to the Official Information Act through that process. And to be very clear, the companies remain in the SOE Act until they're transferred across to the mixed ownership model as part of the sales process. So, at the moment, the only one we're indicating that is underway is Mighty River Power, sometime around the third quarter of this year, and we would seek to move that across at an appropriate time. So that's the main points in the legislation, and be very happy to answer any questions that people might have.
Have you discussed this with the Māori Party, and are they happy with 51% versus 49%?
Yes, the Finance Minister has discussed this with the Māori Party with respect to Section 9. I think it would be fair to say that they're happy that Section 9 is in the legislation. They, of course, are not going to vote for the legislation, as they've already made clear, and if you wanted any other comment or reaction from them, you'd have to go and see them.
What kind of advice are you seeking about Air New Zealand?
Well, right now Air New Zealand's about 26% privately owned already. And of course, if we're going to pass legislation that has an impact on the various shareholding requirements in that company, then there is some additional advice we need about the process and how we do that. So, for example, Air New Zealand already has a restriction on any one foreign shareholder owning more than 10%. The share market rules limits any one New Zealander to 20%, but as you'd be aware, the government's commitment is around 10% and securing in legislation 51% ownership. So we have to have a separate process for dealing with that because you've got these minority shareholders.
So you're looking to do the same with Air New Zealand as the other ones. Could you not just leave Air New Zealand at 20%?
Well, the government's been very clear about what its commitments were, and so we want to work through a process to put that in place.
But that 10% cap was to try and stop big foreign investors buying up. But if it's a 20% cap on New Zealand investors, surely that's okay.
Well, that's not what the government said it would do. And what we're doing is we're getting legal advice and commercial advice on how we best implement our policy on that.
So won't that drive down the value of Air New Zealand? theoretically?
Look, I'm not in a position where I can comment on securities prices. You'd have to talk to others about that, and we're getting advice on that.
Are there any existing New Zealand shareholders between 10 and 20%?
I'll be in New Zealand. I think if you look at the current annual report, the next shareholder after the government, on it, which is on about 74%, is 3%.
So no one would be immediately affected and have to divest if you
went
to 10%.
Look, we're in a position where, as ministers, we have to be careful about how we comment on listed securities, but that's the information that's publicly available.
So the sale of Air New Zealand could be delayed by how long?
Well, Air New Zealand is all, we've always said that with this whole sales process, it's over a 3 to 5 year period, and we've not indicated what's in after Mighty River Power because we think that's a commercial issue. But clearly, the government can't make any decisions with respect to Air New Zealand until we've worked through these other issues. And once we've worked through those other commercial issues, we'll be able to pull it in the pot, as it were. But at this stage, we can't indicate a timeline around that.
But how long will the issues take, do you think?
Oh, look, I think this will take several months, and we're going to work our way through that. And as soon as we've made some decisions with how we implement our policy with respect to Air New Zealand, we'll let you know. But the government's pretty determined that we want to stick to the parameters that we've undertaken to the country.
How are you going with identifying the second company to go off the block?
Well, there's a process around that. At this stage, the government hasn't made any decisions, and we haven't received any advice on the second one. We're really focused on Mighty River Power, which we want to get underway sometime in the third quarter of this year.
There are suggestions that you might discount the price of Mighty River Power to ensure 100% New Zealand ownership. Is that in the ballpark?
Well, the whole pricing situation hasn't yet been discussed or considered by ministers. We'll be getting advice on that. But we're pretty determined we want to make sure that we can do the level best we can to make sure that there's as much New Zealand ownership as possible. But there's always been a tension with respect to this about the price and what proportion of foreign and New Zealand ownership you have. We've put some parameters on that, and as we get closer to the share offer, we'd be able to give you more advice on that.
Why will the corporate responsibility effectively for the SOE Act not be extended to the new
company? Well, as we've indicated, we want to get these companies in a form that is as close to their competing companies on the New Zealand Stock Exchange as is possible. Those companies don't have a legislative requirement around corporate responsibility, but what we know is that people in business know it makes sense to behave in a corporate responsible way, corporately responsible way, and we would expect that that would continue.
So the, obviously the objections immediately from the opposition party will be that this is just you're freeing them to gouge with power prices in the roof if you don't put that social wider corporate responsibility.
Well, they've operated as they have over the last 10, 15 years, putting up power prices even with a corporate responsibility requirement. So I don't think you should look at the corporate responsibility as being some sort of fetter on prices. It is on the overall behaviour of the company, and I think you can see that already companies that are listed on the New Zealand Stock Exchange take their corporate responsibilities seriously and would expect to build strong relationships with their communities. I think if you look at those four energy companies, they do have strong relationships with their companies, with their communities, but I don't think that's necessarily connected to the corporate responsibility provision of the Act. It's connected to good business.
In terms of those conflicting factors you talk about in the sales process, then what's the overriding sort of driver of this? I mean, is making sure you control debt under Trump and everything else, or what?
Well, there's a number of objectives the government's got, and we'll be balancing between them. Of course, we want to get as good a price as possible because that's part of helping to control debt, and countries that lose control of debt, you can see what's happening in Europe because of it. But at the same time, we want to encourage a good savings and shareholding culture in New Zealand, and we want to have as many opportunities for ordinary New Zealanders to hold shares as possible. So we've got competing objectives. I think we can balance them well, but it's all about not only paying off debt and having resources to go into the Future Investment Fund, but it's also about giving New Zealanders improved savings opportunities. And this program is about achieving all of those objectives.
Could we see a scenario, as was put to officials last week, where the company was made to carve off or sell off certain dams or whatnot because of it was acting as a private company and there was no fiduciary duty of it was to sell off those assets if it was in the interest of the shareholders?
Yeah, no, look, I think that's really just a fantasy. The fact is these companies are in the business of retailing energy, and so it's within their interest to make sure they've got high-functioning energy assets, and I don't think that that's a likely scenario at all. Look, they're in the business of owning these dams to make electricity to sell to consumers, and I wouldn't think they'd be wanting to undermine that. This idea that because, as one of the parties put it, that because someone comes and offers you twice the price for the asset, you have to sell it, is a load of nonsense, because frankly all parties have to act commercially, and I hardly think offering double the value of an asset is commercial.
But it's not unrealistic though, is it? Because, I mean, Bill English advice said about how Mighty River's got this expertise in geothermal power, want to take it overseas. Wouldn't it make commercial sense for them to flick off their dams and just concentrate on geothermal, and flicking off the dam to give them the capital to do that?
Well, most of their business is actually in New Zealand. You know, the geothermal is a smaller percentage of their business. It makes sense for them to continue to operate here in New Zealand. The biggest sale of state-owned electricity assets was several hundred million dollars of hydro assets in Australia that were sold under the previous government. But with respect to these companies here in New Zealand, look, anyone wanting to undertake a significant change in assets would have to consult with the majority shareholder. It's just inconceivable that they wouldn't. And actually, these companies are in the business of generating electricity, so that's why I would expect they'd be wanting to maintain as much capacity in New Zealand as possible.
But hypothetically, though, I mean, is there a need for the protection that I think Peter Dunn was talking about, a small change in the legislation to stop that from happening, or you won't go there?
No, there's already requirements in the legislation about if you intend to sell off a significant part of your business, you have to get shareholder approval, and I would expect that would pretty much flavour most of this. I just think this is a fantasy that they're going to flog off significant parts of their business. You know, this is just all theory.
In terms of the other companies, I mean, are you roughly looking at selling a shareholder
in
these companies sort of 1 year? Is that the kind of
time? Well, we are not going to speculate on the order of those things, because that's a commercial advantage for the Crown, but what you can be clear on is that we'll let you know when we've made decisions on that.
Do you think that there's actually a need to have a corporate responsibility objective in the SOE Act at all?
I don't think it makes much difference.
So would you consider repealing that?
No, not off the SOE Act, no. We're mainly focused on the mixed ownership model at the moment.
But if that's going to help the mixed ownership models perform better,
I don't think it will
help SOE companies perform.
Well, the key thing here is we're trying to make the mixed ownership models as close mixed ownership model companies. We're trying to have the mixed ownership model companies as close to those competing companies that they'll have on the stock exchange, and that's why we're removing that provision. But we do know that all of those companies maintain good links with their communities, because it makes a lot of business sense.
In terms of, you know, just on the subject of business sense, partly the selling of Air New Zealand is, you know, it could be better to sell that at a later point as well. Is this part of the reason for the delay?
Not in terms of a sales timetable is not any reason for the delay. The reason is we've still got a number of things we have to work through with respect to Air New Zealand. It's unlike the energy companies. Air New Zealand is not in the SOE Act. It's not in the Public Finance Act. It's a company under the Companies Act. So it's in a different league, as it were. And because it's already got significant private shareholders, that's a complexity that we have to work through, because anything the government does may have an impact on their interests, and we want to make sure we get good commercial advice on how that works.
But do you agree, though, that now might not be the best time to be selling parts?
I think, as we've indicated at our last press conference, ministers are now in a phase where they are restricted in what they can say about various securities. So I can't comment on that. You'd have to talk to someone else about that. But a decision on timing is not one of the complexities that means we've got further work to do on Air New Zealand.
Is there any chance it would be too complex in Air New Zealand that simply wouldn't be part of this?
Oh, no, I'm quite confident we can work it through.
Are you satisfied that giving an exemption from the 10% cap on trustees and nominee companies, that you've got sort of robust rules around that to prevent warehousing or put in call options that could circumvent this?
Yeah, all the advice we're getting is it can be relied upon. It's something that listed companies already rely upon, and the rules are pretty clear, and the penalties are pretty clear as well. So I think we can be confident about it.
Why do you think, Minister, that the Māori Party has shifted its position? Because John Key made it clear right from the beginning that the 51% would be the treaty clause and 49% wouldn't. Māori Party was very unhappy with that state of affairs at the time. What shifted their opinion?
I think you'd have to ask them that.
But they have shifted it.
Well, I think they were very clear that they wanted Section 9 in the legislation, and that's what's happened. But at the same time, we've been able to clarify that that doesn't apply to private investors.
Are they happy with the wording?
I understand so. Okay. Thank you all very much.